Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello again, you Cyber Monday monkeys. Welcome to another episode of the Snowcast, where two, sometimes three alcoholics come around and...
Sometimes four.
So, are we having a fifth? Are we?
The boys we had six last week.
Six, sometimes five, sometimes six, sometimes more alcoholics gather around the table.
Podcast orgy. He's gone.
Oh, and talk some absolute utter shite. I'm here tonight, as always, with my co-host, Darren. Darren, how are you?
How are you going?
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm on for those of you confused, Darren is the D&D drink. Drop the phone, you let it die out. Tonight I'm on the Yellow Belly Beer Crystal Haze Limited Edition Pale Ale. Things around 5.8%. Fuck me, lads. She's beautiful, crisp. A bit too sessionable for the percentage she is. You'd fucking sink this stuff like you wouldn't believe. Lovely stuff altogether. Crystal Haze obviously is a play on the word Crystal Maze, which they said we can't do the
do
music.
Do it. Do 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 do. Copyright.
Yeah, I think I did. I didn't do too many bars there. I'm not. I'm covered.
Probably did a note or two wrong as well. I'd say.
Oh, I was miles out.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely brilliant. They bring out these limited edition brews from time to time and put them on top here in Grady's Yard and Simon's and Wexford and the odd other craft. Beer bar would do it as well. It's fucking delicious. We also sampled tonight. A shout out to Old Brother Brewing. We did. We sampled their. Collaboration with Yellow Belly, the Red Redemption, which is obviously playing Red Dead Redemption, which the second iteration of that
favorite
PlayStation
Fair
is awesome. Fucking yeah, brilliant. So good. So they're only playing that with Ober Brewing, and we had a taste of that there. It's unbelievable. But school night tonight, on 8%. I'll definitely be coming back the weekend for some of that. But yeah, I'm doing good, man. Fucking loving the Crystal Haze. As always, loving the Yellow Belly beer. Them boys just knock it out of the park every time.
Sweet, sweet. And what was the name of that bald bastard in the Crystal Haze?
For some reason, I think his name is Jasper all the time, but that's because he's your man from Golden Ball. Do you remember that game show? No.
Golden Ball? Oh, yeah!
Yeah, me granny used to watch that the whole time out in her house after my grandfather passed away. She'd come out of a Monday evening, actually, and we'd have to record Golden Balls all week so she'd have stuff to watch because she wouldn't be up for watching the match or anything. But,
actually, I'd actually merge like the ending of like the Crystal Maze and Golden Balls together, you know. It's kind of like a similar kind of
that Split or Steel yoke is brilliant. Golden Balls, the fucking snide bastards, like my brother Ian, shout out to Ian, he used to always say, like, why would you not fucking steal? He was like, if you split, you can lose, but if you steal, you can't lose. Like, you both lose, like, you're not coming out there and no one's bested you. Like, he was like, I'd fucking steal every time.
Oh, fuck, that, oh, yeah, that, like, that last, like...
When you win the money together at the end, then you both decide, if you split, you split it halfway. If you both steal, you get nothing. And if one steals and one splits, the stealer gets everything.
Yeah. And they have, like, they have to convince each other.
Yeah.
They go, like... No, 100%. Look, I am gonna split this with you. Like, what's, like, we're,
I mean,
definitely,
mother's washing machine.
Yeah, we are definitely gonna, like, sure. Like, what's the point of us of one of us stealing? Like, I have to split,
and then both, like, steal,
and then one fucks the other person over, or, like, and steals the whole.
I'd 100, and then, like, walks off to, like, Snoop Dogg, gin and juice, like, fucking strolling out.
Ah, quality. So we're also here tonight with a Snugcast first
debutant,
Ollie, sharp by name, sharp by nature. Ollie,
blunt in the bed.
My mother's listening. Would you come back?
Sorry, D.
Ollie is a Waterford native, but a student in Galway. Ollie, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking the Killer Beer Unfiltered Helles Lager. It is, it's strong, and it's pretty fucking tasty, to be honest.
What's it like in comparison to that? Like, unfiltered kind of seems to be a new buzzword, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as in, that, like, seems to be just coming out of nowhere. Like.
I think the unfiltered phase of macro brewing is probably a retaliation to the quality of unfiltered lagers that craft breweries are coming out with, and the macro breweries have to bring out their own unfiltered killers to keep pace, really.
I need to, I'm still processing that sentence. A retaliation to... Craft breweries unfiltered.
Yes. Yeah. So they're bringing out unfiltered Helles beers, like the Killer Beer from Yellow Belly Brewery, and it's so
copycat
good.
Like, is it?
Yeah, the basically.
Kind of way Guinness did a hop house, get into the old craft beer.
And everyone followed them. And,
yeah.
And I think then, like, this whole unfiltered move is, in my mind, the macro brewery is trying to go with the trend in craft brewing. Because craft brewing. There was really good. I saw a tweet from the Irish Craft Brewing Federation there during the week that we followed them on the Snugcast Twitter account, and it was saying that craft brewing sales were on the up, and that macro brewing sales had basically stagnated or gone down slightly in the last year, and craft brewing sales were up an awful lot.
Yeah, but are they counting, like, say
Heineken?
Well, no, but, like, are they counting, say, like, James's Gate Brewery, like, as
no,
a...
No, that's,
I mean,
definitely,
like,
a macro, because it's been produced in a macro vat, like, and stuff like that, whereas, like, you look
are
at
they,
the...
Are they going for microbreweries against macrobreweries?
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah.
Right, okay.
But that's what I think. I think you've got the macrobreweries... basically looking at the trends of these craft breweries, and where the macro breweries are going to come into trouble is they're not going to collaborate. Like, you know, the Red Redemption, there's a collaboration between two micro brewers in Ireland.
Yeah, you're not going to see Hino and fucking Guinness mixing.
I'd be voting at this with you. If you threw half a Hino and half a Guinness in a glass, I'm not going near the fucking thing. Like,
no.
You know, that's a mad night out.
Agreed.
So myself, I'm on yet again the captain's table. Actually, just, I don't think I've mentioned, but we're back again in Grady's Yard on John Street.
It's been 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks, yeah. If you haven't tuned into our latest episodes, we were in Liverpool for a weekend 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And we recorded 2 episodes there that came out on the subsequent weeks. So, we haven't recorded an episode in... 3 weeks, is it?
Well, since that weekend, yeah.
Well, as you were saying, we haven't recorded an Irish episode in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'm on the captain's table, an oatmeal stout, as many of the listeners will be very knowledgeable on, because we've talked about it so much, because it's such a fucking delicious
hit of coffee followed by a chocolatey or finish is a blessing.
That's just an old fucking great pint of stout, like, just keep it simple, like, you know.
It's a mad to be drinking and such a smooth oatmeal stout, such a smooth stout that's not nitro based, you know, that doesn't have that creamy element, but it's so smooth, like,
it's kind of has that little bubbly
it's
bubbly niceness to it.
It's lovely.
But anyway, look, we'll go around the table. First, DJ, I just want to ask you to just give me a little summary of your last week. It was kind of a special week for you. What happened?
Ah, sure. I did a bit. Like, I went to Rome with the Mrs. Neve there, and I dropped the knee on the Monday. Popped the old big Q, and
Stop speaking in code. Tell the listeners what you did.
They need to know.
Sure, look, lads, we'll have an old session of an old wedding there in a year and a half or so. And fairness,
the stag cast,
the wedding cast, the whole lot. But whatever about asking even important question, I asked Owen an even more important question than tonight. So Owen will be up there at the top table, groomsman.
Stop, man.
I don't think she'll let us record from the top table, though.
No, she doesn't know. Yeah.
We need to do some subtle snowcast plugs in the speeches and get that recorded. But yeah, big week for me. Went to Rome, and the folks came out on the Wednesday with my sister and her boyfriend, and it's great to share part of the holiday with them and celebrate, and then celebrate with her folks all weekend. So it's Monday here, like, these are my recovery points.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of those.
Much needed, I've had a glorious lip on me all week. I was actually up in college in UCC there. Christmas Day was on in UCC. Like, I actually went out with a few guys who are doing a PhD in UCC. I met them, they're friends of a friend, and it was funny, like, their mentality. They had forgotten literally what they had been doing themselves, like, years before. Do you know, they were like, oh my god, you see the mess of people, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the day and people are falling over. There are people all over College Road just sitting down on curbs, you know, they don't even know where they are. And I was just like, been there, like, you know.
Yeah, Jesus,
like,
Christ, who, like, hasn't?
Who hasn't, like, as huh? I don't know, it's funny how you easily just forget, like, what has happened in college. Like, it's...
But the thing is, as well, like, your adult self...
They're just having a bit of crack, like, yeah. You know?
Your adult self would be thinking, it's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like, you should be in work by now, but you're not. You're in college, like, you know? That's the crack.
I'm currently living that out, like.
Yeah, yeah. Fair play to you.
Ah, jealousy.
I was talking to one of the lecturers there in... I think she teaches computer science, and she was saying she had a lecture in Boole Theatre, which is like a 200 plus seater like student lecture hall, and she was saying that, like, for, I can't remember, was it for Christmas Day or for Rag Week, but she was saying that, like, she came into the lecture hall and she heard a bit of giggling, and this, like, one guy, just as she got to the top, this one guy just got out an accordion, like, you know, and just started, like, just playing away the accordion, right? And, like, fair fucks were, as a lecturer, she just went, right, one song, that's it, and we'll start the lecture then, like, you know. But, like, it, you know, it, I think you kind of need that if you're doing, like, a lecture, or, you know, if you're a good lecturer,
yeah,
like, you know, as in,
yeah,
like, just get into a bit of the fun of the thing, and, like, you know, like, people there are probably half cut coming into the lecture, like, you know,
absolutely.
And especially, like, a lot of the ITs as well have to sign in and stuff. I don't know. Do you have sign in?
We have no signs at all. We did last year and first year, but this year now we're
easy breezy. Like,
it's easy breezy, which doesn't bode well for some people. But, like, you know, it's fine. We get on grand.
Give us a sample of what your week contained, Ollie, in the college last week there.
We contained in college last week probably about 15 hours of lectures.
How many of them did you attend?
Golden week, was it?
Golden week. Platinum, including tutorials.
Yeah.
No, 75% completion rate, I would say.
It's not good enough if Deirdre Sharp is listening. It's not good enough.
It was 90. No, a few hours put down in the James Hardiman Library. It was...
See, Ollie's worried that his mother be listening to this, so he's bullshitting now.
No, come on. Genuinely, a lot of essays upcoming in the old Irish 19th century novelist age.
I don't miss the essay writing days, to be honest.
Don't blame you. Speaking of golden weeks, right?
Go on.
Have you ever heard what a golden gay is?
No, go on.
So it's... So I was listening to another podcast, and they said it was my dad wrote a porno. We were a fucking quality podcast. But the guy James on it, right? So James is gay, and he said that. Did he say he was a golden gay? I can't remember if he said he was a golden gay, but a golden gay is a man who has never had vaginal sex.
Oh yeah, so
right.
So basically a guy who's lived his entire life outside the closet.
Yeah, right. And then
respect.
Right, but then he said, this is the fucking quality, right? So then he said you can also be a platinum gay, right?
So you've only taken it.
So no. So a platinum gay is someone who is delivered by C-section.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That is fucking unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
I actually highly recommend that podcast.
Oh, it's brilliant.
What is it?
My dad wrote a porno.
Okay.
Yeah. It's three people. I think they work in media in the UK, but one of them, their dad actually wrote a porno book, like a erotic literature.
That's so funny.
And they just do a podcast where they read each book like that he did. So it's like normally like 10, but it's like a chapter per episode.
Yeah.
But it's the dad just can't write erotic. It's
funny because it's so cringy.
It's
like,
so bad. Like,
alright, so I'm gonna ask you something, right? Give me one line that your dad would write in a porno.
Oh
and I come to you first, Liam O'Tab.
It's
not easy, is it?
Gordon is gonna fucking
she fell down Bunker's Hill and upon me lap.
Face first upon me lap. I'd say Mayo lad, Sledge Welch, if he was to write a porno, the introductory sex scene would be, well, Jesus, I was throwing the bales of hay together, opened the barn, had the old fork in my hand, next thing all I see is a woman coming at me over nowhere, and I bit the hole off her. Ollie, Gordon Sharp.
Gordon Sharp.
Give me a line from Gordon Sharp's porno.
I think Gordon Sharp's scene is he's cooking away and
he's
cooking away.
Naked chef.
Chef, kind of fucking naked community and someone can't pay.
Oh.
Someone can't pay.
Oh,
you
like
know,
it.
They're
I
in a bit
like
of trouble
it.
Then, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that, I like that. Gordon D, if you're listening. Fair pitchy.
Right, here, come on.
Move on. Would the host ever get a hold of this episode?
Yeah, sorry. We can't even cut most of this. This is a quick releaser.
Yeah, we've no editing, so sorry, D.
Sorry, Mom. So, I think I might do it in reverse, right? What's your 1J experience?
1J.
My 1J experience.
J1 for anyone listening.
Yeah.
Just in case
we're having a few in jokes.
Ice cream cures hangovers.
Oh.
Ice cream cures hangovers,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's is fucking immaculate for hangover.
Actually, you had a pretty cool. You worked in Orlando Studios, did you? Or somewhere?
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's.
In Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah. In Orlando.
So
no wonder
fucking cured your hangover.
Yeah, just go in and have a few scoops yourself.
What's your favourite Ben and Jerry's flavour?
Probably the Karma Sutra. I think it's highly underrated. I think everyone goes for cookies and cream, but I think salted caramel with ice cream, like that bit of savoury with an ice cream, fucking can't beat it.
What's the one that has like the little kind of nuggets with like the nuggets of chocolate with like caramel within them?
I have no fucking idea.
Fishy food?
I was the worst bastard ever for them.
Maybe.
It's
just, fish food has kind of like white.
No, fish food is.
It has white chocolate fish, doesn't it? And stuff
is
like
it white?
Yeah.
Okay, it's white chocolate.
The thing I'd say is fuck Ben and Jerry's. That Häagen-Dazs peanut butter one is unbelievable.
Mm.
It's a game changer. I had it for the first time with... Actually, do you know who I had it for the first time with, I believe? I could be getting this completely wrong, because I was with Niamh when I had it for the first time. Well, I'm pretty sure... Actually, it was. It was Simon Cahoon of Snugcast fame, at The Real Life Doctor on Instagram. Give him a follow. He's fucking brilliant. We went for dinner over his house with himself and his beautiful...
Beautiful
wife, beautiful. Annie, she's such a babe. We went over, myself and Eve went for dinner over at Simon Annie's house, like, you know, with the two young kids, like, they couldn't be coming out in the pints the whole time. That's why Simon's only an occasional contributor to the Snugcast. And we went over for dinner at their place, and for dessert we had this fucking Häagen-Dazs peanut butter ice cream. It was fucking amazing. So basically, if it's ever on offer in Tesco, and Eve says, if you don't come home with a pint of that stuff, don't come home at all.
Here, is it true that Ben and Jerry's had a flavour called Black and Tan?
Having a fucking notion.
I think they did. I think, like,
it was... Oh, fuck them if they did.
I don't think it was ever released in Ireland, like.
Naturally enough, for political reasons.
I want to say I heard that before, though.
Mm.
It's pure the kind of thing you'd pretend to hear before.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw it on Twitter. I thought I saw it on Twitter.
But Orlando's fucking smashing spot. If you get a chance to go there, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
My one regret is I'd have loved to go. I've been to All Ireland hurling finals, All Ireland football finals. I've been to Premier League matches, Champions League matches, League Cup, FA Cup. I've been to Jesus Christ. Ollie just has it up on Google there. I've been to Premiership, Champions League, FA Cup, League Cup. I've been to NFL matches. But I'd love to see an NBA game, and I haven't seen one yet. And my biggest regret was I didn't get a chance to go see the Magic play someone. Actually, my brother Ian is getting married in Las Vegas in a couple of years, and I'd definitely go and try. Hopefully, if it's during the NBA season, we'll try and get an NBA game in. Fucking, I'd love to see one. I just think, I think of all the sports in the world, I genuinely think NBA players are the greatest athletes on earth.
Special sport.
Unbelievable, yeah.
I saw the Lakers and the Clippers there.
Yeah, sure.
In Staples Center in December.
Family over there, yeah.
Quality, like, such a good game.
I've actually my most recent gaming purchase was NBA 2K19 on the PS4, and it is so good.
Yeah.
So fucking good. I'd highly recommend it. Even if you're not that into basketball, it's very tough to get a handle of the controls, but fuck
it's me. A good career mode, like, it's savage, it brings you on a proper story. And
I'm
a journey,
actually friends,
you know?
With Anthony Davis now.
The eyebrows.
Yeah, he cooks a mean guacamole. He plays New Orleans Pelicans. What's the New Orleans dish? Starts with jambalaya.
He cooks
a mean virtual jambalaya.
Good stuff.
Your J1 on.
My J1. So I went to San Diego.
I was supposed to be going to that one, but I couldn't afford it in the end.
No way.
Yeah.
So that was 2011. I went to San Diego. Ops. Such a good summer. But, like, I don't know, the thing about J1s is, like, you have no money, and, like, San Diego for us anyway was pretty tough to get a job, and I ended up getting, like, this, like, small job for Google, actually. But, like, it was kind of it was like product testing one of their services. They were bringing out Google Plus at the time, so I was kind of like product tester for them. They actually thought it was living in Ireland, because I had applied when I was in Ireland, and they actually thought I was still there. So, but anyway, I ended up getting that kind of job. Kind of, they were just paying me like ad hoc, like, you know, it was enough to kind of keep me going. Like, but like, you kind of forget, like, you're there for so long, and like each day is kind of nearly the same. Like, you're just going out, like, you're just like working, drinking,
yeah.
And, like, you know, going to the beach, working, drinking. You know, it's not like there's nothing iconic until like the end, where like you've saved up maybe a small bit of money, or you have a small bit of money left, and then you, like, we did a road trip up the, like, West Coast. So we went from San Diego up to San Fran, and we went to like a lot of surfing towns and into LA, and it was that bit, like, always sticks out to me, because it's just, like, iconic, that whole, like, Highway 101 up the West Coast.
West
like,
Coast
you know.
Job, yeah.
But like, actually, having said that as well, there was a few times where we went down to Mexico and stuff.
Tijuana.
And Tijuana, Rosarita.
Hollywood Paul.
Yeah, Hollywood Ray, man. He was he was the king at the time. Like, he's an absolute creep. Like, but
aren't they all though?
Aren't they all like? But yeah, Jesus. Some of those nights in Mexico were dangerous enough. Like, a few little boys got arrested. So at the border, you're brought over on a bus at the border. At the border, the bus leads you off, so you walk over the border, and then on the other side, like, Ray gives you the address of the nightclub. So you say, like, and he has the he doesn't have the taxis organized, but he has a row of taxis. You have to pay for taxis, but they he has a row like lined up, like, and like, you know, obviously to save cash, like, you go like, will you take 9 of us in the taxi? So, like, the taxi men are like, you know, maybe not. And then you go, sure, fuck it, I'll take the next taxi. So then the taxi man's like, right, everyone
pile in,
like,
in,
right? So there'd be boys, like, hanging out of the windows and everything, like, you know, banging the roof of the car. And, like, so a few of the boys got arrested and got thrown into a cell for a few hours.
Did they sing Double Triangle?
Ring, jingle, dangle. Maybe, I don't know. They, like,
I definitely would like.
Yeah,
that.
I would at the time. But anyway, yeah, they rocked up to the nightclub there in a few hours later. I think, the old Mexican cops were as crook as anything. Like, you know,
give a fuck, like,
yeah,
give them a 50.
50, yeah. Like, I know another few boys as well who got arrested for taking a piss at the border.
Which side? Just so I know next time.
Just, well, like, the Mexican side, like, it was the Mexican cops, like, so they, right, they were taking the piss in public, and the Mexicans, Mexican cops took them, not to jail, not to anything, but to an ATM machine, and just went, take out 200, 400 quid or whatever for us, and just pay us, and then you're free. So, yeah.
That's nearly right, better than jail time, though.
Oh yeah, fuck the jails.
Yeah,
the
jails sell for a night. I'd rather pay for it.
Yeah. But at the time, like, you
wouldn't have it.
At the time, you wouldn't have it, like, or that'd be the end of it. So, Ollie, you're
planning one.
Planning one.
Yeah, I applied for my J1 this evening, as this is recorded. There's about 14 of us that are looking to go to San Diego.
Actually, yeah, so the place, I don't know, how many was there? There was probably around that number, 14 or so.
Yeah.
But like a 2-bedroom house, like.
Oh, that's the plan. Yeah. Like, there's.
Yeah, blow up mattresses, the lot, like. It's,
everything.
Yeah.
I think there's 8 boys and 6 girls going over. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. We're talking about work and stuff, and I don't know, I've been trying to...
Look, that'll...
It'll sort itself out.
But if you have hero personality, that'll sort itself.
But unfortunately, the way the J1s have gone recently is that you need to have a job before you go over.
Yeah,
so
you have to get sponsored, is it?
Yeah, I need to let my crowd, use it, know that I am actually able to work and have work, and then the crowd that are going to... have me or have to tell you something.
You need to start blagging how good you are at hurling.
Oh, I know. I need to find a San Diego club, basically, and just say, I am a Waterford minor, under 21, senior inter-county player. You need me. And then go over and sit on the bench for 3 months and just go drinking.
Yeah, be all right, wouldn't it?
Ollie Gleason.
Ollie Manny, more like it. Yeah, I'm very excited to go.
Blag away, lad.
Right, so the three of us are dry anyway, so we'll take a quick commercial break here to have a listen to some of our sponsors. So I hope you all enjoyed those ads from the Irish Republican Army. We're very lucky to be sponsored by the
such
boys, like, you know.
A prosperous group.
Yeah.
Such a group that stands up for equality.
Yeah. So anyway,
speaking of unity in Ireland,
let's talk about what's topical in the news these days. And what is a hot topic this Cyber Monday is not
Cyber Monday.
is Irish managers. So
And the departure of.
So Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have left.
They got jibbed.
Shy performance.
And I actually think Martin O'Neill has left with the worst record of any modern era Irish manager, which is
phenomenal.
Absolutely phenomenal, isn't it?
Because when you think when we beat Italy in the Euros in 2016, like even our France match where we were beaten, we put it up to them. We were 1-0 up after a penalty.
I know, but stats, like, that's the thing about stats. We were beaten by France, so, like, it counts as a loss. So, like...
Even though we actually performed really well in a knockout stage of Euros against a team that eventually went on to lose the final.
That's how stats can be misleading.
You know,
well,
it's mad, and it's one of them sliding doors moments where if they go on and beat France, even if they get knocked out in the next round, all of a sudden, like, Irish football is on a high.
Yeah.
And a whole generation is inspired. Or the flip side of that is we go on, we don't qualify for the last World Cup, we go out fairly dismally in the playoffs to Denmark last year, and the World Cup happens without us, and what ends up happening then is we've literally had I suppose about 7 to 9 months of dismal, boring,
frustrating
football that has had a complete lack of quality, and I actually look at the Irish squad and say there's a lot more quality there than they've shown. When you consider, like, Matt Doherty is playing such good football at Wolves, Seamus Coleman is one of the best right backs in the Premiership, but when he's on form, Jeff Hendrick was an integral part of a Burnley side that qualified for Europe last year. Robbie Brady, injuries aside, this year is coming back into the fold. There are footballers in Ireland that can play football. You know what Alan Brown is doing at Preston, and he's not going to look in yet. We've consistently picked Glenn Whelan up until he retired recently. I find it baffling, and I think that O'Neill and Keane took completely the wrong approach. I think appointing Mick McCarthy for 2 years with Stephen Kenny taking the under-21s with a view to replacing him is bizarre. I think it's one of the fucking maddest decisions I've ever come across in football.
Boy, I totally disagree with you.
Okay, no,
we love a good disagreement.
My take on this is why give Stephen Kenny the under-21s for 2 years and then give it to him after the Euros? Why bring Mick McCarthy in for 2 years? The main reason I'm saying that is because I heard it put out there that Stephen Kenny isn't tactically aware enough to take over an international team. He's done better with a League of Ireland team in Europe than any team in history has done. He's clearly tactically adept. He has had his side decimated with every the top quality players of his side being plucked from Championship and League One sides year in, year out, and has consistently performed to the highest level with Dundalk. I think there aren't many Irish managers in England doing the business. Just because he's a League of Ireland manager shouldn't stand against him. In fact, it should count for him, because he's done more for League of Ireland football than any manager in the history of the League of Ireland has done.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think what I think, though, is the most ludicrous thing is that so Mick gets the job for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Ireland qualify for the Euros, right?
Yeah.
With Mick. What do you do then? Like, Mick, good luck, Mick, right?
Imagine theoretical scenario. Because in fairness with Saipan, and I made his point, I don't know, did I make it on a podcast or a podcast that never made it to the air with the lads in Liverpool? I made a point that Mick, if Roy Keane and Saipan didn't happen, they probably would have beaten Spain in that round of 16. I would have fancied them against South Korea, and all of a sudden Mick McCarthy could have led Ireland to a World Cup semi-final. What if Mick has a similar impact and ends up in the Euros semi-final?
That's what I'm saying. Well, like,
it happened to Wales, albeit with a world-class player in Gareth Bale that we don't have and won't have by that stage. But, like, if Croatia, a country of 4.5 million, can make it, albeit with a world-class player with Luka Modric, can make, and
two
some,
and three world-class players. Like,
well, define a world-class player, Rakitic, fair enough, but I don't think he's in the top bracket for his position.
Agree, yeah.
Perisic is top quality, but not world-class. Mandzukic is definitely not world-class.
Top-class finisher, though. Better than
top-class
finisher.
Inside the box.
His goals, the game record is shocking. But they still have a solid team. they're a much better quality than Ireland, but it's still not beyond the realms of possibility Mick McCarthy brings Ireland to a Euros quarter or semi, given the right draw. And I just think, give it Stephen Kenny, the Euros for 2020 are the most qualifiable competition in recent in international history. Give him the chance to do it, and if he doesn't do it, stick with him. Give it to him and fucking let him build a project. There's actually somebody like Conor Hourihan, Alan Brown, Michael Obafemi. There's a young guy from Tullahore actually that's captain of Southampton's under 23s, Tomás O'Connor. There's some really talented young Irish players at the moment, knocking around the under 23s of Premiership teams in a championship. And I think giving it to Mick McCarthy is a bit short-termist. Mick was a fantastic manager for Ireland. He made a World Cup championships and made it to the knockout stages. But
look at the team he had, like.
But he did that with a golden generation of a team. They pretty much all were starting week in, week out in the Premiership. We don't have that anymore. And I think the whole thing about Stephen Kenny and tactically not being up to it, Mick's tactics, while he did very well with Ipswich on a terrible budget, like Mick is an
out. And Wolves in the Premier League. Well, to get to the Premier League.
But that's the thing. That's Mick's level, I think, is to try and stabilise the Championship team and possibly push for playoffs and promotion.
But if you look at the average league of our players, it's not Premier League. It's Championship.
No. And we made this point as well.
I actually think on an international level, like international teams play at a championship level because they're not playing day in, day out together. So the quality of international football is not good.
You see Christian Eriksen standing out that game in the qualifiers because he is world class. What I'm saying is, we don't have that level of quality of player, yet at the same time we have, right, if you go through the Irish team, Darren Randolph plays for Middlesbrough, I think, now at this stage in the Championship, but up at the upper end of the Championship. We have three right backs, one of whom basically plays right wing for Wolves, so he should be playing right midfield for Ireland, in my opinion. Seamus Coleman, Cyrus Christie and Matt Doherty all start regularly in the Premiership. Richard Keogh doesn't start regularly in the Premiership. I'm not sure, but we don't have any other centre backs. Shane Duffy starts regularly in the Premiership. Robbie Brady starts regularly in the Premiership. Greg Cunningham starts regularly in the Championship and is a very good Championship player. We should be looking at bringing the likes of him in. Stephen Ward starts in the Premiership not regularly, but he plays a good few minutes and performs to a fairly high level. Alan Brown is one of the Championship's best players. Conor Hourihan is one of the Championship's best players. We have the players to play good football, but we just need to set up. And I think Stephen Kenny played good football with limited players at Dundalk and got serious results.
Agreed.
Your counter argument?
But Mick McCarthy on the whole will come into the Irish setup and solidify things. We as a team have conceded, four games without scoring anything.
Mick McCarthy's not renowned for scoring goals, right, but we haven't conceded much under Martin O'Neill and Wright.
We haven't, it's been terribly boring football, but if we can qualify
But is Mick McCarthy going to play more? Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane qualified for the tournament before last. My counter-argument is Mick McCarthy's football more exciting?
Yes, they did, from throwing players forward in the last minute against Italy, where Robbie Brady and
Wes Hoolan delivered the ball.
A miracle goal from left back where Robbie Brady runs.
They qualified for the tournament before, that was in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's still the attacking players throwing people forward.
Jeff Hendrick, when he plays at Burnley, plays number 10 position in the Premier League. What we are lacking at the moment is an out-and-out goal scorer, striker.
Yes.
I agree with that. But at the same time, too, how many international teams have an out-and-out goal scorer of the same standard and level that Ireland are at? But who do Austria have that scores goals? Arnautovic?
Probably no one to that level, but they're wingers and attacking midfielders are probably streaks ahead.
They though? I don't think they are. They have David Alaba playing left back, they have Marco Arnautovic up front, and they have your man Baumgartlinger, who plays at Bayer Leverkusen centre mid, and he's a holding midfielder, he's not creative. That's what I'm saying. The likes of Austria,
there's levels.
Like when you look at the Switzerland, we don't have anyone the level of Jordan Shaqiri or Granit Xhaka,
and even at his best, he's probably not on the same level of many international team standards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't have top quality players, but we definitely have enough to fucking push on.
So, does Delaney need to go?
Oh, 100%, yeah, that lad. Like, I saw.
I think the two of you could probably be in agreement with that. Already.
Yeah, I saw a brilliant quick tweet, 2008 to 2018. GAA have pretty much doubled their revenue. IRFU have pretty much doubled their revenue. Yeah. The FAI have gone from 45 million revenue in 2008 to 49 million in 2018. The myth of John Delaney being a good CEO for the FAI, it's complete bollocks.
John, like, that's the thing about, like, as in, there's no development of grassroots football in Ireland. It's terrible, like, you know, as in, like, they've started about under 19, under 17, under 15, and they're starting under 13, I think, is it? International football now, like, but, like, like the development of clubs in Ireland, like, as in, like, I know, like
but in Ireland,
not even League of Ireland clubs, but like even like grassroots, like clubs in Ireland. Like, I remember, like, even when I was playing when I was younger, like, as in, do you know, like, there was no, like, there's no kind of like scouting or anything like that was apparent. Like, yeah. You know,
in order to get your 10,000 hours, which is what you need to become elite athlete.
Yeah. Mm.
You need quality facilities from the age of 6, 7, 8. Hmm. To get 10,000 hours, you need quality facilities 6, 7, 8 years of age. And I, basically, Neil's nephew, who's 10, plays soccer in Laois at the moment. And I've brought him training a few times when his father's been working. And the facilities are shit, the coaches are shit. There's no money put into it all, there's no infrastructure. So if you want to develop homegrown athletes as opposed to searching... like English lads who have Irish grannies,
then you need
to fucking invest in grassroots.
Absolutely.
Speaking of investing in grassroots, Owen, I want to take your take on this. Obviously, we've probably had the best coach in rugby, you know, Steve Hansen, tied with him probably for the last 5 or 6 years. Joe Schmidt, like, what an absolute genius of a coach. He's announced he's leaving. Andy Farrell's taking over. I think the FAI can run an awful lot from there if you in terms of grassroots coaching and owning the development process.
Yeah, like as in, like, the IRFU, like, just keeps their own players within the provinces. Mm. You know, like, offers, like, these fantastic contracts to keep them within, develop them within, and, like, you know, you see the likes of, like, Zeebo has, like, which, you know, rightly or wrongly, has been, like, ousted from the network, but, like, you know,
the standards,
like,
don't drop because
standards don't drop because
the standards are there from when you're 10 years of age.
They've really improved.
Yeah.
And,
you know, like, and, like,
absolutely,
like, the depth of that Irish squad is fantastic. Phenomenal. It is absolutely ludicrous. Like, do you know, like, the Rugby World Cup now, 4 years ago, when we were playing Argentina and we lost Argentina, do you know, like, we had, like, our half is injured and stuff, like, you know, and no replacement, like
Luke McGrath
or whatever, right? But, like, Conor Murray was injured versus the All Blacks there. Kieran Marmion came in and just fucking
Marmion's out for 3 months now, and you're not worried about whoever's in his place because there's so much depth at every single position.
Yeah.
And that's generally down to having the spot on coaching at the younger. Like, you have to have your 10,000 hours done.
Yeah.
And the 10,000 hours of excellence is done underage so that when these guys hit professional levels, they have a phenomenal understanding of the basic skill set. And then, because they're all intelligent guys and they've been coached well from a young age, they're coachable for an elite coach.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, with soccer, that's just non-existent.
But, like, these boys don't, like they don't even need a coach anymore. Like,
the coach
is just a choreographer, basically.
Yeah, but like, as in, Joe Schmidt has, like, like, envelop that mentality into that squad, and they are so professional in every single thing they do. Like,
but you have to give,
and they go in the lash after a game.
Yeah,
they do.
100%. But you have to
soccer, ain't like, yeah. I mean, there's no fucking.
But you have, that. You have to give an honourable mention to. There are some aspects of that Irish rugby team that are uncoachable, like Peter O'Mahony's will to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that take against the All Blacks.
There's no words.
His whole game. Yeah, like, it's just.
If you haven't watched that, lads, fucking
just look up.
Go on to YouTube.
Peter O'Mahony highlight reel v All Blacks.
Oh.
The lad's
it's inspiring.
An animal.
It's inspiring.
If Peter would like to do an interview with the Snowcast, we're more than open to it. We seen him with a point in his hand after that match with in the Shelburne. But no, like,
I just think the FAI could learn an awful lot, but they're so insular and they're so fucking narrow-minded, I don't think they will.
You look at John Delaney on €360,000 a year. Jean-Claude Juncker of the European Commission is on €320,000
a year. T-shirts on Hannah.
Like, do you know, there's a leader of the European Union is not on as much as John Delaney is for organising a bit of fucking football.
But that's what I'm
Ireland.
Saying as well, though. Like, Delaney has, like, Irish football has regressed so much in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how his place is tenable, and I certainly, if I was an influential person in the FAI, I'd be looking for rid of him.
I still think it's a good job. I still think Stephen Kenny needs 2 years of international football and experience to of the under-21s where he takes control of 15s, 17s, 19s and brings his youth forward
necessary. But will Kenny not learn more tactically coaching in Europe against European teams at Dundalk than he would do with the Irish under-21s against the fucking Finnish under-21s?
Anyway, lads, right?
Move on.
Mick McCarthy, right?
Can you start puffing the head off each other?
Mick McCarthy, right? He's back in charge of Ireland. Yeah. The Spice Girls are doing a tour. Take that, our top of the charts.
Westlife are actually doing a tour.
Westlife are doing a tour. What fucking year is it? Backstreet Boys are doing...
Come on, Micheál. Micheál wants it that way if anyone's listening.
What year are we in, eh? What year is this?
It's Saipan all over again, even though it's only four.
Louis Walsh hasn't had plastic surgery yet.
But yeah, I think we've had a good chat tonight.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the little camaraderie, the little head-to-head battles we've had now over the last few minutes, and telling the stories. Anyway, just to reiterate, a big congratulations again to DJ and Eve.
We'll celebrate long. Lads, listen, don't worry. We'll be going on a stag do. There'll be a few stag casts produced in that stag do. And listen, I'll try and work a few subtle snow cast digs into my wedding speech.
Good stuff. Look, I'll do a quick slán around the table. DJ, say slán to the fans.
Fans galore, slán go fóill. Thanks a million for listening, lads, really appreciate it. If you could do us a favour, like, follow, listen and subscribe on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Try and get our followership up, tell everyone you know about the Snowcast if you're enjoying what we're doing, get the social media presence up, and we'll grow from there, because if we can grow a bit more, we'll have an awful lot more toffee. If you like what the Snowcast is doing, don't be afraid to contact us on social media and tell us what you like we do. Even if you don't like some things we do, let us know, and we'll fucking build some future
jump in a skip. Yeah, fucking
oh, listen, absolutely. And look, if there's something you'd like us to do, give us a shout, because we've got a good few ideas coming up, and we've got some absolute fucking belters coming over in December, so give us a fucking dig out, give us a shout, tell your mates about it, pass it on.
Ollie, thanks a million, man, for joining us tonight. You've fucking great contributor, in fairness. I really hope you come back on the Snowcast. It was great.
I've had great time being here. I was weary enough about you coming on. You're a bollocks, like.
as shown by the last four or five months over summer.
Yeah, thanks anyway, man. And look, just to close out tonight, we're about 10 days away from the 12 Snugs of Christmas.
Fuck, is that close?
10 days, I think, from 12 Snugs of Christmas. Lads, fucking, you're wait for this.
Need work off of that. Hi. Very important.
Hi.
Make sure you have plenty of cans in the fucking wardrobe for Christmas, because we give you plenty of reason to drink them. And if you can get yellow belly cans, get yellow belly cans.
Right, lads, go fuck yourselves. We're off.
Stay away from yourselves.
Adios.
Don't stay away from each other.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.